Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. I want to read just something from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I think it's one of the most important Bible verses there are to tell us about what our lives are supposed to look like. If we want to be more Christ-like, what are we supposed to look like? What are we supposed to live like? It says, well, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, it's not about being rich and famous. It's about being a servant. It's about loving other people and putting them first. That's what makes us like Jesus, because that's what he did. He did it back then. He does it still for us today. God serves us, loves us, so that we can serve and love other people. Now, the rest of today's message will be how. How do we do this? How can we live out Jesus' words and become the servants that he wants us to be, so that we can live more like him? There are many ways to serve. There are certain jobs that we think of as being service jobs, like waiters and waitresses, or garbage men, I guess, or even teachers, I think. But really, any job can be in service to others, depending on your attitude. I mean, farmers, it can be service. Doctors, secretaries, I mean, there's all kinds of different jobs. So whatever your job is, whether you think of it that way or not, you can live it out in service to other people. But the last couple of weeks, as I've been going through the Bible in a year, we've been looking at 1 and 2 Timothy. I've been talking about how we can become better leaders, not just at church, but in our families, at work, at school. And I hope to show you today that to be a good leader means also being a good servant. What did Jesus do to create leaders for the early church after he ascended into heaven? Well, what did he do to make leaders in the first place? He got together a small group of men to teach them, and not just teach them things, but sort of showed them, walked with them for 3 years on how to live their lives. Then next, he invested even more time and attention into just a few of them, to show them how to be leaders in the church. And then he sent them out with the power of the Holy Spirit, said, I'll be with you even until the end of the age. But he sort of sent them out and let them do their thing. I believe that as leaders in the church and in our communities and in our families, we need to follow this model that Jesus gave us. We're trying to make not Xerox copies of us, that's not the goal, but to help people to look more like Jesus and become servant leaders, just as he was and still is for us. One of the first steps in creating a godly leader is to intentionally seek to grow in your faith with other like-minded Christians. I used to think that the most important part of becoming a disciple of Jesus was going to church. I mean, that made sense to me, but now I believe while it's important, it's really only a small part of what it takes to become a disciple. Gathering for worship is important, of course, to strengthening our relationship with God, but we also need to strengthen relationships with other Christians and with people outside of the church, too. When I first read the story from Exodus that we read today, it struck me how church can kind of look just like that story of Moses and the Israelites. Because he did all the work for the Israelites as their leader. Moses was in charge. He stood in front of everybody, and they came to him and said, what does God want? And he would give them their answers and help them decide what to do. And I kind of think that sounds like a lot of what church has been, especially in the past, but still even today. Some of you treat me even, or wherever you go to church, you treat the pastor. They stand in front of everybody, and you sit and listen, and they tell you what God wants, right? That's the way it is. But in Moses' time, this model didn't last very long, because his father-in-law, Jethro, came and said, you know, that's not going to work. It's not sustainable. It's not good in the long run. Moses still had to lead the people, especially when there was a very difficult case. But what he did is he chose men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people. Okay? I maintain that if we want a healthy church, if Christianity in general wants healthy churches, we can't just simply look to our pastors to be in charge. we have to remember who's actually in charge. It's not the pastor, it's God. A good pastor has to serve God and be a good follower of him, but that's true for all of us. If we're servants of God, then we all can be leading people. If we train many leaders in the church over a period of time, many more people are going to be strengthened in their faith and grow in their relationships with Jesus. And not just the leaders, but everybody. That's why, even though we haven't had one, or we didn't have one today, but the God stories are important because, yeah, I hope you get something out of what I say, but sometimes it's when somebody else says it. They could say the same thing I say, but you just hear it differently, and it means more to you. That's why we need more leaders and more voices to share about their faith in God and to help us so that we can become leaders. How did Jesus train these leaders? He gathered a small group of believers. Over a period of 3 years, he taught them. He called them his 12 disciples. And he invested even more time in just a few who would ultimately be leaders of the church, Peter, James, and John. What might this look like for us? I've tried to investigate what healthy churches and growing churches, what do they do to make disciples? And every one of them uses the same model that Jesus created. They create small groups for people to support one another, to learn more about God, and to learn from one another. In these groups, they get information, they ask questions, they challenge one another, and they're called to live out the faith that they've been committed to. It's like accountability. So that we don't just come to church, say, oh yeah, I should really do more than that, more of that kind of stuff. And then next Saturday, well, I didn't remember to do that stuff. I guess I'll try again tomorrow. I mean, a small group is meant to hold us accountable so we have somebody else to say, are you doing what you said you want to do? You know, are you living out the faith the way you want to? Jesus used these small groups for people to support one another. And in these groups, they do all these things, but the problem is right now, we do have small groups in our church. We do, and they support one another, but I see kind of two big issues at Emmanuel. First, like 20% of you are in a small group that's really focused on this, which aren't very many. And then also, even if you are in a small group, there's not always a plan in place to help you learn to become a disciple and to make other disciples. And you probably get support, which is really important, but we don't intentionally try to help you grow or to help you learn how to share your faith with other people. So getting together and talking, it's nice, it's encouraging, but you can do that like in lots of groups. It doesn't have to be a church. but a Christian small group really should be focused on making disciples and making disciples who can make other disciples. Make us servant leaders. So, going through the Bible in a year, we are to the book of Titus. We've been through 1st, 2nd Timothy, now the book of Titus. And I just want you to hear what Titus says. I believe that it's chapter 3, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe not. Sorry, I didn't mark it. There we go, chapter 2. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Now, I know a lot of guys stick together for coffee, you know, every day of the week to figure out the answers to the world's problems. But I don't know if they're doing this. Are they teaching each other to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, and in love and endurance? I mean, we can get together and encourage one another and talk, and that's good. But Titus says, if you want to grow in faith, you got to be intentional about it and think about, what are you talking about? Or like the ladies of the church, it says, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. I just wonder, I mean, a lunch date, I mean, maybe you can encourage one another as women, but like, it's got to be intentional. And I'm even a Bible study, I mean, that's good. We think as long as we have a Bible study, we're good. But like, are we holding each other accountable to do the things we're reading about in the Bible study? I mean, I think we have small groups and they're important, but I think we need to really think, what are we learning there? And what, how are we sending people out? Are we coming back and saying, how did we live out our lives? Are we growing in faith, or do we still need to work on this? And how can we tell other people more about Jesus, not just with our words, but how we live out our lives? So the thing is, I just wanted to read this. It's important that we learn to be disciples and make disciples. But if your small group of Christians aren't doing this, let's talk about how it can start to do it. Let's do it, not just talk about it on a Sunday, but learn how to make it happen. Finally, Jesus did not just spend time with those 12 disciples for 3 years. He invested even more time in just a few of them. Several times in Scripture, we hear this happening. For instance, when Jesus healed a little girl in the Gospel of Mark, we read this: he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. And then the Gospel of Matthew, we read this: after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And it happens again at the end of the Gospel of Mark. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And then he took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed. I mean, it feels like Jesus is almost showing favoritism, but I don't think that's the point. He's saying, I need to mentor just a few of these people. Like, I'm teaching all 12, but I'm going to focus extra into just a few of these leaders so that they can lead the other leaders. He invested in a few people who would become the leaders of those disciples in the future. Now, I think the first step for all of us is just to get into a small group of Christians where we can grow in our faith and we can be held accountable to that faith, become stronger disciples. But in time, we also need to learn to mentor a few people on our own and to have a mentor. You know, I've been a pastor for, 15 years, something like this, and I've never really had a pastor that I could talk to about things. So as I was talking about discipleship after the LCMC convention last year, I was talking to a guy from a church up in Minnesota, and he said, you know, you really need to get a mentor. You need to get someone probably a little older than you, who you respect, who you can talk to about being a pastor, and who can ask you, you know, you said you wanted to do this 2 months ago. Have you been doing it? And it took me a while to find one, but I finally have one after 15 years. But then the next step, I think, is I need to learn to mentor just a few people and help them to be stronger, maybe pastors, maybe not. But we all need to be thinking about this. Not only do you have, let's say you're a teacher, or a farmer, or whoever, right? In your job, do you have someone that you can talk to? You say, how can I get better at this job? What are your experiences? And then they can talk to you and say, you know, have you been doing what you want to be doing? And then are there people maybe younger than you or people the same age as you that you can say, hey, can I be there to support you extra? I mean, you can have all your friends, but someone that you can spend extra time with to help them to grow in their faith. I mean, this is an important part about being a leader, not just in our families and our churches, our workplaces and our schools as well. But we need to become servant leaders in order to make the next generation of servant leaders. I have a feeling many of you probably have experienced this, though, outside of the church, maybe inside the church too. But I mean, how many of us have had a coach along the way that has really spent extra time with us? I always think when I went to junior high in Griswold, I was just learning to be a wrestler in junior high, and there was this guy I'd be walking down the, this is so weird, I was walking down the hallways in junior high, and he would sort of, I felt like he'd just sort of jump out and like grab my neck and start like just wrestling with me in the middle of the hallway. But he spent extra time to teach me all the moves. I mean, I was never good, but I wouldn't have been as good as I was if he hadn't spent extra time with me and helped me know that he was someone that I could look to lead me. Maybe it was a teacher. Like, did any of you ever go before school and just have this teacher that would spend extra time with you or after school to teach you this thing? And maybe you weren't ever very good at it, but you knew that they cared extra about you and they cared that they wanted you to get through this class. Or perhaps someone at work who has mentored you, given you a plan to succeed in your career goals. There's nothing wrong with building a few close relationships with the people, even in your small group. We need this, in fact, to learn to grow as leaders. So if you're interested in being a part of a small group, not only to grow in your faith, but also to become a disciple maker, please let me know after service or send me a text or whatever, an email this week, because we already have several groups that you could be a part of. A couple new groups I'm hoping to be starting in the fall. We have one for families with young kids that I'm trying to make sure that we can get this going and keep it going this year. We're also going to have Stephen Ministry if you're interested in visiting people who are sick or who are just struggling. This is another thing. I'm hoping actually to have a men's group starting on Saturday mornings that we can talk about how as men that we can not only grow in our faith, but lead other men to come to faith as well. The thing is, we can't just sit around and let other people take care of us. We need to be able to learn to be servant leaders ourselves. And we can't just talk about it. I mean, maybe this is an inspirational sermon for you, maybe not. But even if it is, the chances are you're going to be motivated for like 20 minutes. You're going to eat your brownie and you're going to go home and forget it all. That's the problem. That's why we need small groups to say, you remember what Pastor talked about? No, I have no idea. Well, he talked about leadership. Oh, yeah, I wanted to do that. Well, how are you going to do it? Here, let me help you, okay? We're called to be servant leaders who don't seek glory for ourselves, but desire to become more Christ-like and help others to do the same. I think about Hudson up here. I mean, you know, I've baptized a lot of people up here, and, you know, he knows... Well, I hope that he continues to learn how much Jesus loves him and how no matter what happens in his life, that Hudson is going to know that forever he is a member of the Church of God and loved, and he can be forgiven no matter what. Hey, but what all of you, I mean, you know that just being baptized, I mean, that's such a gift. But in order to grow in your faith, I mean, that water doesn't last forever. I mean, you need to be watered over and over and nourished in your faith. And encourage all the time. So I bet you all have people in your lives who you know have been baptized, but how can you help them to grow in that faith? And then once they grow in that faith, how can you help them to become leaders and to share that faith with other people? I mean, this is the most important thing. Be baptized by Jesus Christ, to be promised that you're going to go to heaven forever. But then how do we live that out in our lives so we can share that with other people? We have to grow ourselves and share it with others. To not just become disciples, but to make disciples, to invest in the future leaders who will be make us good followers, not just of Jesus, but give good servants to other people. I pray that we can all do that and continue to do that from this point on. Amen.